optimistic that if it came to that, that we would prevail. In 06, there was legislation that was very punitive toward third-party registrars like this.
Castor is the stepmother of Democratic U.S. Representative Kathy Castor, but the League is a nonpartisan group. The ACLU is also considering legal action, and Senator Bill Nelson has asked the governor to veto the bill. If he doesn't, Nelson wants the U.S. Justice Department to investigate whether the law will disenfranchise voters. The bill also makes it more difficult for people who have recently changed their names or addresses to update that information at the polling precinct on Election Day. Instead, they would have to fill out a provisional ballot, which receives more scrutiny than a normal ballot and is more likely to be rejected. Sean Canaan, FSRN, Tampa.
That's the program for today. The newscast was produced by Catherine Komp. Headlines editor, Jess Burns. Our Washington, D.C. editor, Matt Laszlo. Our technical production team at KPFA in Berkeley is Rose Katapchi and Scott Pham. FSRN welcomes your questions, comments, and news tips. Write to us, comments@fsrn.org. For more news stories, specials, and our documentaries, visit our website, fsrn.org, and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/fsrn. Thanks for listening. In San Francisco, I'm Danny Wood.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. This programming note tonight on Earthwatch with Robert Knight, the very latest on the Fukushima nuclear power plant. That's this evening at midnight right here on 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and WBAI.org. It's currently just about 7 o'clock, which means it's time for another exciting edition of Off the Hook. Everybody, the program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you tonight with jam-packed studio. Why is everybody here tonight? I have no idea what the occasion is.
It's a fundraiser.
Yeah, but that's not the occasion. Is that why everybody came down here for the fundraiser?
Oh, yeah.
It's raining outside, so that everybody, what, came in to get dry? Well, okay, first of all, that's the voice of Red Hack. We have not heard you in a while.
Nope.
And we're not going to be hearing you much today either, because you're going to be down in the tally room taking pledges. So if you want to hear the voice of Red Hack, you can call up and pledge. You might actually get a one-to-one conversation. Mike is here also.
Hi.
Are you going to say anything? Okay. Brett is here.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Also haven't seen you in a while. Voltaire.
Hi.
Jim.
Hello.
Down in Philadelphia is Bernie S.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
We have Bicycle Mark is here from, what country did you come from this time?
To the Netherlands.
Netherlands, okay. Well, sometimes it's Portugal, sometimes it's New Jersey. I never really know with you.
Hi.
Welcome to this country. Not Kevin, you're here from Vermont, right?
Hello, I drove 300 miles from this fundraiser.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard what I have to do. I have to drive all the way to Canada to get my key replaced for the smart car because the battery died. How about that for technology?
That sounds fun.
Isn't that great? Yeah, but, you know, I'm just happy to be... Oh, and Bernie S. down in Philadelphia. Did I mention you already?
You did.
I did.
Greetings from Philadelphia again.
Thank you. I'm losing my mind. This was one of those days. I really wanted to be here tonight. I'm glad I made it, but I almost didn't, because today was a day I had to pick up a shipment for the Club Mate beverage that we send out, the German energy drink. But we have to put it in boxes, and there's only one place that has the boxes that we can ship it in without it breaking into a million pieces. And that place is in the middle of Queens. And they close promptly at 4 o'clock, and the only way to get the material to us is into the 2600 van. So I was driving there this afternoon, and in the middle of... Did you guys notice it was raining today? You noticed that, right? It was a monsoon. Well, that's when my windshield wipers decided they were going to fail, and I think the windshield wiper motor just conked out. And there I am in the middle of Queens with no windshield wiper and a monsoon and the place closing in 5 minutes. And I honestly don't know how I made it. I don't know how I did this. This makes no sense to me at all. But somehow I managed to get through that situation and survive, because I knew being here tonight was important, and raising funds for the radio station mattered.
212-209-2950 if you want to get a jump on things.
Yeah, that's I risked my life. Well, for a number of reasons, but that's just one of them.
I advise our listeners, don't risk your life. If you're driving, like, pull over before you call us.
Well, that's the other thing. When you're driving in Queens, you can't really pull over either, because there's no place to pull over. So it was very difficult. I literally had to stick my head out the window to see where I was going at times and go at 5 miles an hour, and it was really kind of pathetic.
Can you imagine the chaos that would have been caused if you called while you were doing this?
No, I was texting while I was doing... No, I wasn't texting. That would be about as bad as it could possibly be, but... Important thing is, I made it here, and we'll get... The thing is, when I get the van fixed, I don't have to drive all the way to a different country to get it fixed, or to a particular mechanic that has the rights to the part, like today's computerized cars act. It's really ridiculous. I can go to any mechanic and get this fixed, but just not right now. So I want to thank everybody, by the way, for last week. Last week we did tremendously. We raised $4,500 in 2 hours, which is simply phenomenal. We're on for 1 hour tonight, and we're not on at all next week. So this is the last gasp of the fundraiser for us here at Off the Hook. And what we're offering tonight, we'll make it very straightforward and simple. We're offering the same DVD packages of the greatest hits of hope. In other words, 20 talks that many times encompass more than one DVD. So you're getting 20 plus DVDs. For a pledge of $75. These are DVDs from three different Hope conferences, and they're all kinds of fascinating talks. And if you want more of the Hope conferences, 40 DVDs will be sent to you for a pledge of $125. We're going to be playing a couple of excerpts. But there's also one other special thing we're doing tonight that we have not done before. And that involves our own Rob T. Firefly, who you may not have known this, but he is somebody who can put together some artwork, some pictures. In fact, he's doing this right now. Rob, can you talk and draw at the same time?
I can. I can also chew gum, but then I'd sound funny.
Yeah, no, don't do that. You're there with a pen and a piece of paper, and you're sketching. Do you mind if I ask what kinds of things you're sketching right now?
I am sketching some telephones.
Okay.
Telephones of all sorts of styles and shapes and sizes, and I'm sketching these on...
paper.
I'm sketching these on paper, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, that's...
Archival quality paper.
Archival quality paper in archival quality inks.
What is archival quality paper?
It means it's acid-free. It's not going to turn yellow and get gross if you want to keep this forever and ever as a wonderful keepsake, which, of course, I think you should.
Okay, all right.
Just to give a little bit more of a description about these, he's not... They're personalized. Some phones are touch dial phones, others are rotary phones, even have broken phone booths. And, of course, they all are, to some degree, off the hook.
Yeah, that's something. So what we're doing tonight, for everybody who calls and pledges any amount, we will send you a picture that Rob is sketching right now in the studio, your own unique, individualized picture. It'll be a surprise. You won't know exactly what it is, but if you want to see the kind of artwork we're talking about, go to robvincent.net. Go there right now. Rob Vincent, robvincent.net.
What a ridiculous name.
And well, you'll see an example. You'll see a few examples of some of the artwork that Rob is capable of producing and is producing right now, even as we speak. He's going to be producing all of this during this hour. So the more calls we get, the harder he has to work.
Yes. So if you don't like me and you want to make me work hard, this is your chance.
All right. 212-209-2950. We have actually 20 DVD sets. 20 DVDs. That's in one set. Yes, I'm still a bit flustered here. And basically what you get for that is it's a good look at three of the Hope conferences that have taken place since the first one we're featuring is 2006, Hope number 6, the last Hope in 2008, and the next Hope in 2010. The three most recent conferences, 20 of the biggest hits, the conferences or the panels rather that were well received. 212-209-2950. What we're going to do now, we're going to play a bit from one of those panels. Bernie, anything you want to say to bring some calls in?
Well, I'd like to know what this panel is.
You would like to know that, wouldn't you? Well, you know, I think the thing that tells us how many calls we have is broken because there's nothing on the screen here. It's all blank.
Well, I'll say, in addition to my wanting to know what this panel is, because they're all really interesting, is that this radio station is really what you get, WBAI. You get not just get this show, and which most of the time we're not begging on the air. We have to do this to keep the radio station transmitting, or we go off the air and no more off the hook and no more dozens of other amazing programs that no other radio station is going to broadcast, in New York or anywhere else for that matter.
Very true.
We have an expensive transmitter on the top of the Empire State Building that reaches four states, and we're on the Internet, and all this stuff costs a lot of money to maintain studios. This is not just some folks sitting in the basement on a webcast. This is a real radio station with real people.
Well, those are real people, too. They're just in a basement doing a webcast. But
yeah, I'm talking about it's not like a what they call DJ farms where you get people at these commercial radio stations just slaving away like a boiler room. This is a real radio station with people that really create some amazing programming. I'm not necessarily speaking about ourselves, but we do come up with some amazing stuff. And we're going to play some of the stuff that we put together on the Hope conferences over the past few years. And we encourage everybody listening, who obviously values this show, you wouldn't be listening now, to call 212-209-2950 and give us a hand, help support the station. This is the last night for the fundraiser, and we'll give you an amazing thank you gift of 20 DVDs for $75 and 40 DVDs for $125. That's just amazing value for great entertainment.
It's a lot of DVDs.
I'm posting, as Rob draws, I'm posting some of the drawings to the WBAI Twitter stream. So if you go on Twitter to WBAI_radio, you can see some examples now, and we'll post more examples as the hour goes on.
But how do you see pictures on Twitter?
You click the link.
Click the link. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
So you can do that. That's one way of doing it. Or you can go to robvinson.net and see Rob's drawings there. But, again, everybody who calls 212-209-2950 for this hour only will get their own personalized copy in the mail. And that'll come directly from us. So you'll get it. You'll get it quickly. Definitely get that quickly. The other premiums will follow shortly thereafter. Again, 212-209-2950, 75 for 20 DVDs. 125 for 40 DVDs from the most recent Hope conferences.
Now, I know we say it a lot, but it's something really important to stress. Anyone who really, supports freedom of speech, this is the kind of station to, pledge to, because the kinds of opinions that you hear come across the station, whether you agree with it or not, is very hard to find anywhere else when you have big corporate sponsors breathing down your neck. You know, whereas here, you can have a lot of very unpopular opinions come out. You could have very interesting ideas that you won't get to even, consider that you don't like. You won't even hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
It will form an intelligent opinion.
Absolutely, absolutely. People take it for granted, I know. These fundraisers are a necessary evil, which keeps it all free and open and exciting. It really is. Go ahead.
I think evil is really overstating the case. They may be obnoxious, but what's really evil is advertisement that you get on the other radio stations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, at least here we're honest with you. This is how we fund ourselves. If you listen to most commercial radio, they pretend to be interested in you, but their customer is the advertisers, and we don't play those kinds of games.
Absolutely not. All right, but this is the kind of game we're going to play right now. We're going to play an excerpt from Hope Number is this Hope Number 6? No, this is The Last Hope. I'm sorry, The Last Hope in 2008. And, of course, it wasn't The Final Hope. It was just the name of the conference. The Last Hope, 2008. This is someone you may have heard of named Kevin Mitnick, who appeared at the conference. and basically is telling some stories. You'll get this. You'll get 19 other equally good, maybe even more amazing DVDs, or talks, rather. And if you pledge $125, you'll get 39 additional DVDs or talks. Again, 212-209-2950, $75 pledge, $125 pledge, your choice. And, of course, everybody who pledges anything will get a special drawing from Rob P. Firefly, who's busy drawing right now. You should get the microphone to pick up the sound of the pen on the paper there. Go ahead. Well, you got to draw for it to work. Well, that wasn't really anything. You just were scribbling there. All right. Well, yeah. All right. He's busy doing that. 212-209-2950. Let's have a listen to Kevin Mitnick.
Very interesting to me. So I became involved in this area of phone freaking. And then because I'm a prankster, I took this area of phone freaking and I applied it to pulling pranks on friends. So one of the first things I did was I accessed a telephone company switch in Pasadena, California, and I was friends with another guy that was also into phone freaking, and I changed the class of service on his home telephone to that of a payphone. So whenever he or his parents would try to make a call, I'd say, please deposit a quarter. That was fun. But what was even more interesting is intercepting directory assistance. There was a special way of calling a toll-free number, and then with the A, B, and C, D tones, you could actually set up intercepts on directory assistance around the United States. And they really fixed this flaw after we had fun with them for about a weekend. Especially Providence, Rhode Island, people would call in, and we'd get to play directory assistance operator. And you could imagine, 17 and 18 years old, the fun you could have, right? Some people would call in, I'd say, what city? I'd say, Providence, Rhode Island. I'd say, name, please. They give me the name. And I'd say, hold on, I'm looking that up for you, sir. I'd say, oh, by the way, we're doing a survey. Do you mind spending about 15 to 20 seconds to complete our survey today? He goes, sure. And I'd say, okay, one of our first questions, are you at home or in the office? I'm at home. Do you have our current yellow pages and white pages at home? Yes, I do. Then why are you calling me? Another call, someone, you know, what city? Providence, Rhode Island. May I have the name, ma'am? Sure, it's John Smith. Okay, one moment, please. That number is 555-21537. What? 555-21537. And they'd go, how do I dial a half? And I said, you know, between the one and zeros, you're dialing the phone, you just kind of give it a little bit of a nudge, or you can go down to our phone center stores, they existed at the time, and you can buy one of our new phones that has halves on it. Unfortunately, that fun only lasted for the weekend. Because we did a little bit more immature pranks, but I'm not going to go into that over here in this conference because I'm being recorded. And by the way, anything I talk about today, just my disclaimer, everything happened over 5 years ago, so it's past the federal statute of limitations. All right, so just so we know. Okay, perfect. But when I was in the amateur radio, I also was a prankster, and my target was my favorite, not my favorite, but the most well-known fast food restaurant in the industry, McDonald's. Have any of you played with McDonald's with radio in the audience? And you know what fun you could have, right? So when a customer drives up to the drive-in window and places an order, I, with my friends, parked across the street, could take over the system. So now the customer is not speaking to the guy inside with the headset. He's speaking to me. So you can imagine, right? Customer drives up. Yes, may I take your order, please? Yada, yada, yada. And say, well, congratulations. You're our 50th customer today. Drive forward. Your order is for free. And then I had a friend that did a really good Indian accent, right? So what happened is the customer would place the order, and it kept getting repeated back incorrectly, right? For about 10 or 15 times, so the person loses patience. And then, of course, there was menu changes at McDonald's, where no longer were there hamburgers, french fries, and sodas. It was all burritos, tacos, and hot dogs. So after messing with this one McDonald's, this was in Hollywood, California, they put a sign on the drive-up window that it's closed because they kept getting messed with. So the manager of this McDonald's comes out right after we were playing with him for a while. He comes out and he's looking in the parking lot and he's looking for the culprit who's messing with, you know, their system. And he's looking around and he has no idea. Again, we're sitting across the street of a big boulevard. It's like right over here on Broadway. And we're watching, we're laughing in the car. And so this guy starts looking around. He sees nothing. He goes up to the drive-up speaker. And he's examining it. And he's looking at it like, no, he's like it's possessed. And he's like looking around. And then he doesn't see anything, so he puts his face right next to the speaker. I couldn't resist. What the f*** are you looking at? And this guy moved. I never saw a guy run so fast except when. It was great. I mean, we had a great time with McDonald's. So, yeah, those were kind of interesting pranks. Back in 1988, I don't know if you know my history. That was the first time I was federally busted for computer hacking. A friend of mine and I were hacking into a company called Digital Equipment Corporation. And what happens, we had a falling out, and he informed the FBI what I was doing, and he set up a sting operation. I was arrested. At the time, the federal prosecutors had told the judge that I had the capability of starting a nuclear war by whistling into a payphone. At the time I was in court, when I went to court for my detention hearing, as they call it, I was like expecting to get out because I just spent 3 days in Terminal Island Federal Prison, and it wasn't a fun experience. And I go to court and I'm ready, and I'm looking at, when am I going to get out of here? And then when the federal prosecutor said that I could just whistle into a phone and start a nuclear war, I actually grinned because I thought he would lose all credibility with the court. But what happened is the judge says, "You're absolutely right, Mr. Prosecutor. In fact, we need to make sure that he can't even get to a telephone in the prison." So I ended up in the hole in solitary confinement. But eventually I was released. And at that time I was keeping my nose clean. I found new hobbies and new interests. And my brother called me one day, my half-brother, and he told me that this guy, Eric Hines, wants to speak with me, that he used to be a hacker, and he has a lot of interesting things he'd like to talk to me about. And I kind of really wasn't that interested. And my brother called me again, saying, "This guy really wants to talk to you." So I called the telephone number. It turned out to be this guy that wasn't Eric, but what he would do is he would actually page Eric to his number, and he'd conference it in like this ultra, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. So I finally get this guy on the phone, and he seemed very knowledgeable about phone phreaking. He knew a lot about the internal systems at the phone company. He knew about equipment in the central offices, and it intrigued me because I had a passion for technology. So we set up a meeting to meet at a hamburger hamlet, and I brought a friend of mine along, a guy named Louis DePayne, who incidentally was my hacking partner for a number of years. And we meet this guy, Eric, at a hamburger hamlet, and he starts telling us that he was part of the Kevin Poulsen case. Everybody familiar with Kevin Poulsen? Okay. And he starts telling me about all their escapades into phone company offices. I'm sitting there and I'm listening. And I said, "So what happened to you?" Because Poulsen was busted. He says, "Well, I was in Texas, and I was busted for doing some sort of credit card fraud, but they wanted some information about how I was doing the fraud, the FBI, so I cooperated with them and told them how I was able to commit these frauds." This is him telling me. "And I got out early. I got a deal." I said, "So they didn't ask you about Poulsen?" He goes, "No, they only wanted to know about me." Doesn't sound like the FBI. No, usually they want to know about everything. So eventually, during the conversation, he says, "We're talking about different systems at the phone company, Cosmos, SCCS. I'm not going to go into all the MISR. Remember all these, familiar with all these names of internal systems at Ma Bell?" And then he mentions a system called SAS. He goes, "You know about SAS, don't you?" I go, maybe. What does it do? He says, well, you can monitor anybody in Pacific Bell. And I go, no. I go, tell me more about it. And then he clammed up and didn't say another word. And the meeting ended. And I was intrigued. I wanted to find out. I didn't know about this system called SAS. What exactly is it? And how he told me he discovered it is he and Kevin Folsom were actually in one of the phone company central offices, found the equipment, and were able to hook up a tape recorder and actually record the protocol going back and forth. So what I did is I called the phone company, and using my social engineering skills, I wanted to find out the company that developed this tool. And so after about, two or three phone calls, I found out the name of the company that manufactured SAS. I do some research on this company, and I find out that they went out of business. They no longer are in business. So I did a little bit more research, and I found out the founders of the company tracked one of them at home, pretended to be a person working for Pacific Bell IT, and that I wanted to make improvements on the system, but I had no information. And the guy says, well, since we went out of business, do you want me to send you the design plans and the different protocols and everything? I could either FedEx it to you or I could fax it to you. What do you want? I said, sure, fax it to me. So then I had all the protocols and all the information of how to access SAS. And how SAS worked is they had remote RTPs, remote test points in every central office, and they had to use computer terminals in a test department at Pacific Bell, and it would talk to a concentrator. That concentrator would dial up to the RTP in each central office, and it would use a proprietary protocol, and it would give the test technician the ability to make calls from that number, to listen to the calls, to do a number of different test functions. So now I had the capability, like Eric had, of using SAS. So let's fast forward. This is kind of a lengthy story, but it's kind of interesting. So I started to get suspicious about Eric, because every time we'd get together or talk on the phone, he'd start like asking me questions. Who do you associate with? Who do you talk to? What are other hackers doing? And to me, that was a big red flag and yellow flag. So I started wanting to look into, who is this guy? And at the time, the Public Utilities Commission did not tariff caller ID in California. But since I had switch access, I did. So I basically implemented caller ID in Los Angeles. I set up caller ID on a friend's telephone, and then at 3:30 in the morning, I called Eric's pager number to call his telephone number. He did, and we were able to ID the number, and then from there get the address information from the phone company. It turned out this went to the Oakwood Apartments in Los Angeles, California. Then I decided, well, I got to find a little bit more about Eric. I just know his name. I call the Oakwood, I find out from the phone company the unit number he's living in. I call up the rental office, pretending to be Oakwood corporate. I was able to get the whole rental application for the apartment where that phone terminated it. And to my surprise, there was no work information on this application. It only listed a mobile cell phone number. So I did some research and I found out that this mobile telephone number is listed in the name of Mike Martinez. And then to find out more information about this number, I needed to either be the customer and use social engineering, or I needed to get into the cellular phone company's network. At the time, I found a vulnerability in AirTouch Cellular, so I was able to get inside access to their internal network. What they gave me the ability to do is look at any calls that were originated from that cell phone or terminated. And one number that kept popping up over and over and over again was 310-477-6565, which is the headquarters of the Los Angeles FBI. So there I knew that there was a big problem for me, because this guy was either an undercover agent or he was an informant. So why I'm telling you the story, too, is because I had to go through a lot of trouble to implement caller ID to get his telephone number. Now I'm going to show you how you could unmask private numbers, because if it happened today, he would have simply blocked his number. After I got the cell phone number, I pulled all the cell bills because I had access to all their internal systems. And then I started doing traffic analysis and found that this cell phone number was calling other phone numbers within government, other FBI cell phone numbers. And at the end of the analysis, I had every telephone number that belonged to the White Collar Crime Squad in Los Angeles. So what I started doing was having their numbers, I was able to do originating and terminating number searches. And then what I started doing was searching on Eric's number. Well, who's calling him within AirTouch Cellular? And who's calling Pacific Bell Security? And then I was able to find the case agent's cell phone number because he was calling Eric, he was calling Pacific Bell Security, he was calling different numbers at the bureau. So then what I did is there was this device called the DDI. Is anybody familiar with it? A guy named Mark Isasalam in Milwaukee. What the DDI device allowed you to do was monitor the forward and reverse control channel of a cell site and actually be able to see calls. Anybody remember the DDI device? Okay, maybe two or three hands. So at the time, I was working as a private investigator in Los Angeles. And I'm sorry, I really hate to do this.
He went on for a good long time talking about this and so many other things that that he's been doing in his life, playing with technology, being prosecuted for playing with technology. But this is just one of the many talks that you'll get for calling 212-209-2950, pledging $125 for 40 talks from three conferences, or $75 for 20 talks from three conferences. This this one in particular, Kevin Mitnick, you'll get for a phone call, 212-209-2950. I thought it was amazing how he just basically is recounting all of this. And I think this is really the only time he has done this publicly. He has his book coming out this summer, a book that's actually about his history and the things that, the adventures that he's had in being locked up for many years in playing with technology. I thought it was amazing how he implemented caller ID in Los Angeles. That was something that he did before the phone company was actually doing it themselves. He was able to get access to a computer and do this so that he could find out who somebody was talking to. It's an amazing story, one of quite a bunch of stories that he has in this one talk, and this is just one talk of many that you'll get for calling 212-209-2950. Please get the phone lines lit up. We had a couple of calls while we were playing the excerpt, but we need to get a lot more than that if we're going to do respectfully this this hour. Bernie, what do you think of that?
It was riveting stuff, Emmanuel. This show has a whole heritage of being for phone freaks. You know, the name of the show is Off the Hook. You know, it's just sort of like a triple entendre at this point. But anybody who's got phone freaking or curiosity about the phone system in their blood, and I think we all do, and I think a lot of people listening right now do, probably found that riveting stuff. I did, and I know a lot of other people that would find that riveting stuff. So you're going to get that DVD and 19 other DVDs if you call 212-209-2950 and pledge $75 or 40 DVDs of this kind of stuff. Actually, all kinds of stuff. This is just one sampling of material you get as a thank you for pledging support to WBAI. You can get 40 DVDs for $125 by calling 212-209-2950.
We have one call on the line. I know there's more than one person out there that finds this this material riveting and fascinating. Keep in mind, we're just playing a short excerpt of the audio here in the radio station. You get the video. You get so many more talks that we have time to play tonight. You get keynote addresses. You'll get social engineering. You'll get the informants panel that we played excerpts from over the past couple of weeks, where the guy who turned in Bradley Manning, who is alleged to have leaked documents to WikiLeaks, faces a crowd of angry hackers, including you, Bernie, Kevin Mitnick, Fiber Optic, and myself, but also a room full of people. Very interesting talk, very interesting questions being asked, very direct controversy there. But there are so many other talks as well. Think of it, 20 different talks for a pledge of $75, 40 different talks for a pledge of $125. This is phenomenal. This is something that we don't offer very often. That's why we're doing it tonight. And this is the last night that we're on. We only have a half hour left. 212-209-2950. I still see just one call on the line. I know there's more than that. Mike, can you get more in?
I can try, but really it's up to the listeners to make the calls. Mm-hmm. 212-209-2950 is the number. So you get the radio station, which is really the greatest premium of them all. We get to keep doing what we do, but you also get your either 20 or 40 DVDs, just like the one we heard. But you can see it in video, and they're all at least an hour long. Some are longer, I think. And you'll also get an original drawing of a telephone that Rob T. Firefly is busy making right now. We've posted a couple more pictures, to the WBAI Twitter if you want to see what they look like.
What is that Twitter account?
It's WBAI_radio. So
okay.
twitter.com/WBAI_radio and click the links there and you'll get to see some drawings. And you'll get to own one if you pledge within the next 28 minutes, 212-209-2950.
And thanks to the person calling in right now. Please join that person. Let's see if we can get a handful of calls here at this particular point. We want to play another excerpt from a different talk that's part of this special package. But in order to do that, we need to see a flurry of calls come in, because if people don't call while we're playing the clips, then it doesn't make sense for us to play the clips. We need to get people calling so that we do well this hour, so that the station is here when we come back in 2 weeks. 212-209-2950. Dot Red.
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, a big opportunity, because, you know, if you guys were listening to the show last week and you said, oh, I want this premium, well, here's your second and last chance for this fund drive.
We get emails all the time after the show.
Exactly.
People want to be able to pledge, and we only offer it during our show because it's such a fantastic offer that we'd go broke if we offered it all the time. That's why we only do it during the show. This is the last hour that we're on during this fundraiser. So if you want it, this is the time to call, 212-209-2950. We have two calls on the line, maybe three. Can't tell with this system here.
Well, please, right. Once this hour is over, that's it. These premiums will no longer be offered. You know, if you call in an hour from now, it'll be too late. You know, now's the time to call. Once you get to the end, once you get to 8 o'clock, that's it.
Rob, are you able? Okay, yeah. Don't distract yourself when you're drawing here. Rob is drawing, and everybody who calls gets one of his amazing pictures here. You can see them, robvincent.net, or look at the BAI Twitter feed, and you'll see the kind of quality you get. Every single drawing is going to be different.
I should also point out that these are all signed and dated and individually numbered tonight, so these are part of a set that's only being done here and now.
All right, now we have four calls on the line, so this is great. This is a good response. People, please, we're doing this because we believe in this place, and we know you do, too. And if it weren't here, there is so much that we would not have been able to do. I don't think we'd be able to successfully run the conferences. I don't think we'd be able to do the magazine quite the same way that we've done in the past. We certainly wouldn't have had all the interviews and controversy. And in fact, just the Free Kevin campaign, the campaign to get Kevin Mitnick out of prison, that was orchestrated right here at the radio station. The campaign to get Bernie S. out of prison was orchestrated here at the radio station. Radio is a very important medium for getting the word out. Yeah, the Internet is great, but there's a lot of noise on the Internet, and you have to wade through it and find the material that is pertinent to what you're after. And the thing about radio is that, it's more selective. We're able to bring you stories that we know are of interest to you. You're able to call in and give us feedback and have a good back and forth. And plus, we'll be able to reach people who are just driving around in their cars, who just accidentally turn on the radio and come upon us. It's always a bit of a shock the first time, but that's how we get a lot of our listeners for life, and it's amazing. That's the magic of radio. Radio, I don't think, will ever be replaced by any other kind of technology. Certainly, the kind of radio stations that just play garbage all the time, just play music or commercials or whatever, yeah, you can replace that very easily. You can't replace WBAI, and that's why you don't see WBAI everywhere. You don't go down the dial, even here in New York, and find anything like it. It's that different, unique, priceless. 212-209-2950. Join the five calls on the line now, and please help support the place. Bicycle Mark, now you're all the way over here from the Netherlands, I understand, just to have this moment to tell the folks to call in.
Indeed, I came especially because I knew it was the fund drive. And
you could have just pledged the amount that you spent on the plane ticket for that, and we would have not had to do any of this.
I will rethink my actions next time.
We have to talk
about
this.
But even in the Netherlands, and that's, I want to appeal to the international audience, because there are so many, and you guys know when you go to conferences, they come up to you, they listen to this, not only this program, they listen to this station, and they're everywhere in the world listening online, listening as a podcast, as WBAI does put out so much content for people who can't listen on the same schedule. And those people can also donate. We have the technology now, phones to call in and be a part of it. And I noticed in my travels and as news develops over the years, so many personalities, so many issues that, yeah, they might get to conventional news programs and they get 30 seconds on WikiLeaks or on Kevin, but here, you actually get to hear from them, and not just a soundbite. You hear an entire conversation.
Absolutely.
And that's something unique to this place.
The interviews we do and the questions that people ask, it's something you just don't get anywhere else.
Hey, Bicycle Mark, can you issue in Dutch a special appeal to our Dutch listeners?
Yeah.
Because every Dutch person doesn't understand English as it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'd do it a disservice, but yeah, either day. No, I'm not going to do it, actually.
Okay,
I just realized.
Well, that was a good start.
All right, so if that word made sense to you, then you must call 212-209-2950 and school us in some more Dutch.
No, not Kevin. You're here from Vermont, which is almost as far away as the Netherlands.
Just about.
And it's been a while since you've been on our airwaves, but have you seen a place to replace WBAI?
Absolutely not. No? I mean, as soon as I walked in the door here, I couldn't just stop smiling because it just brings back all these great memories of sitting in this room.
Yeah, you kind of freak some people out with that.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
For all our video listeners, you're maybe watching us over the radio. I apologize. But this place is just, it's irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of content that it comes out of these shows are just, you cannot find anywhere else. Literally anywhere else. What other radio station would play that kind of clip of Kevin Mitnick talking about hacking the phone network or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, implementing caller ID.
Or what kind of radio station would play the kind of clip we're about to play now, which is our second clip of the day. And I want to thank people calling in. Give the number out one more time. Bernie, maybe you can give the number out one more time since you seem to always be able to get calls to come in.
It's 212-209-2950. Please call now and we'll send you an amazing thank you gift of 20 DVDs or 40 DVDs if you pledge $75 or $125, respectively. 212-209-2950.
And everybody who pledges gets a picture drawn right now by Rob T. Firefly, busy at work here in the studio. 212-209-2950. Okay, now we're going to play something from the Next Hope, the most recent Hope, the one that took place in 2010. This is part of the WikiLeaks keynote address. We were supposed to have Julian Assange appear, but because of the activity that took place, namely Adrian Lamo turning in Bradley Manning and causing all manner of controversy and chaos, well, that came to the conference in a different talk, and that talk is also included. But we replaced Julian Assange with Jacob Applebaum, who's another spokesperson for WikiLeaks. And this is a bit of what he had to say at that particular time. Again, 212-209-2950. That's our phone number. Please give it a call and pledge what you can afford. 212-209-2950. Let's listen to the WikiLeaks keynote.
Hello to all my friends and fans in domestic and international surveillance. I'm here today because I believe that we can make a better world. Julian, unfortunately, can't make it because we don't live in that better world right now, because we haven't yet made it. I wanted to make a little declaration for the federal agents that are standing in the back of the room and the ones that are standing in the front of the room, and to be very clear about this, I have on me, in my pocket, some money, the Bill of Rights, and a driver's license. And that's it. I have no computer system, I have no telephone, I have no keys, no access to anything. There's absolutely no reason that you should arrest me or bother me. And just in case you were wondering, I'm an American, born and raised, who's unhappy. I'm unhappy with how things are going. I've dedicated my life to helping other people who need help in general, and specifically I work with human rights activists. I work with people who care about a woman's right to choose, the ability to freely vote. I work with people who are working for some kind of social change that is positive in this world. This is extremely important to me, and I don't expect all of you to do this as well, but I expect you to support me, and I expect you to support the activities that take place that are in support of these things. To quote from Tron, I fight for the user. I've done some other things. They're not really that important, but they're in line with what I believe WikiLeaks is in line with. I want to teach people. I want people to learn. I want them to collaborate. I want them to cooperate. And I want them to be able to speak freely without fear of retribution. That's why I work on NoiseBridge, and that's why I work on Tor. I think that if you can, you should organize. You should organize locally in order to make things like this possible. You should help people in whatever way that it is possible. You should also write free software if you have the opportunity, because it is only then that people will be able to trust what you do. There are people whose lives depend on software the hacker community writes. It's kind of a scary thing to think of that, considering some of the quality, but in general, it's extremely important. So you should consider the fact that it's not just about politics. And I am here speaking on behalf of WikiLeaks. I am not here as a representative of the Tor Project who employs me. I'm sure that they probably would not be too unhappy with me speaking here right now, but they certainly didn't know about it before this moment. So I believe that we are complicit in crimes against humanity when we know about them and when we don't stop them. I think that it is quite clear to me that every single person in this room has in some way contributed to the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. And I wonder how you all feel about knowing that you are the ones, I am the one, that has funded every bullet that has shot a child, and every woman who has to come home to a family that has been decimated by troops, where there is no justice, where people don't have recourse of any kind whatsoever, where the standard operating procedure is for someone to take a 50 caliber machine gun and shoot across the engine block and kill the driver. I'm not sure that that's the world I want to live in, and I'm not sure that that's the world I want to fund. I'm pretty sure it's not. How about you guys? What do you think? Is that what you want? That's good. So what are you doing to change it? I guess it depends if you're Branson or not. I grew up listening to how terrible things were in the world before. And the neoconservative lie, and it is a lie, is that when the Berlin Wall fell, history ended. And we were in a new world of prosperity with no problems anymore. But actually, that's not the case. We all live in a mythology. And the mythology that we're living in is that America does no harm. And that is simply not true. I believe that, in general, Americans are very good and they want to do the right thing. And I think that's why none of you are rushing the stage and trying to hurt me right now. But we condemn the past while funding the future that we would condemn if it were our past. It doesn't really make sense. So I want to quote from one of my personal heroes. I was going to give you a quote from my friend Daniel Ellsberg, but I think that Moxie Marlin Spike fits with this crowd a little more. Right? He's a fantastic fellow, and he really has inspired me. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. He helped me to engage with the world in a way that I couldn't previously understand. And he says, "What about the truth has helped you?" And I always give him countless examples. And so what I want to hear from people is, on a regular basis, how the truth has helped them. We have to dismiss with the cynicism. Sincerity is the new black. So tell me, has the truth helped you? Write about this. Publish it. Tell people how it has helped you. Show that when you learn new things, that they have affected you in some way, and that you have affected other people, that some good ripples out in your network as a result of knowing things. This is extremely important, considering the fact that we teach you things, we tell you things, and we give you documents. We need people to do analysis on those documents, so you guys can be the ones that can actually say how truth has helped you. And I'll tell you why. There are some people, I would say, in the hacker community that quite simply just don't believe this statement. But this is from the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. He says, "And mankind's sole salvation lies in everyone making everything his business, in the people of the East being vitally concerned with what is thought in the West, the people of the West vitally concerned with what goes on in the East." That is our job. When you ignore the injustices of the world, you are a part of the problem. There is no question about that. And it is certainly the case that when you fund it, you are the problem. So, here's the solution that my friends and I have come up with. Certainly not my idea, but I'm on board 100%. We believe that it is absolutely necessary to accept documents that are relevant. Relevant because they are classified, censored, or otherwise restricted. This is extremely important because this is the type of material that is going to be able to make the most amount of change. When it is accepted to us, we have a pretty strong vetting process. Part of this, and what makes it safe for people to use us, is that we have very strong support for anonymity. We're uncensorable. You can try to take us down. But for those of you that have read The Mentor and what he's had to say about hackers, you know that you can't stop us. There's just more of us. And the important thing is that we actually use the rule of law. The rule of law is actually, despite my anarchist tendencies, very important. It is protection of the press that allows me to be here right now, and it allows Julian to travel freely throughout the world. Because people would like to shoot the messenger. There is no question about this. We believe that we are not the only game in town, but we believe that we are specifically a functional whistleblowing platform that is useful for people with the promises that we have made. We think that other people might shine in important ways, but we have a very specific set of goals, which is to make a giant impact. The purpose of this is not profit. You can't change the world if you're setting out to make a profit all of the time. The benefit has to be a cooperative one. It's absolutely important to not think of this as a competitive thing of any kind. And this promise that we make about it being a public service, sometimes I think people might criticize. For example, when we took down the site for a period of time for some re-engineering and when we asked for donations. But there is no question that these documents will always be available. And, of course, we plan to release a lot more. The purpose of releasing this is that we think that special access is probably not the way that we can make a free and democratic society realized throughout the entire planet. We think that it's absolutely important that you don't have to be someone special to verify something or to get information. Think about it this way. How can you trust the media when the media does not behave like a scientific paper? How do you know that when someone tells you something, that it is true? You don't, unless you have the original facts. And so that's the purpose of this, to give you the original facts. Of course, there will be interpretations. Of course, there will be people that do analysis on this. But the purpose here is to give you the facts so you can draw your own conclusions, to give you the data so that you have the ability to make your own analysis. And specifically, and most importantly, we aren't going to back down. When the media is gagged, we refuse to be gagged. We refuse to be silent. There is no reason, absolutely. There is no reason whatsoever that we should back down. And we refuse to do so simply because you cannot erase the past. These things that have transpired must be known, and the mere fact that people fight to erase the past, as if it has not happened, should be quite an indicator of something being very, very wrong, not just with this country, but with every country in the world that attempts to do this. And so, we have a history of doing this. Let me explain how it works. We have a pretty good process. We like to say that we have around 1,000 people involved. There's a lot of people involved. There are a lot of people here right now that support us in various ways, and thank you for that. You know who you are, and I don't know who you are. And thank you for that also.
Okay, we're going to have to fade there, but that's Jacob Applebaum giving the WikiLeaks keynote address at the Next Hope in 2010. And yeah, it's a little bit outdated because he did mention that Julian Assange is free to travel wherever he wants, and obviously that's not true anymore. Wow, what a talk that was. Simply incredible hearing straight from the horse's mouth, one of the people directly involved with the entire WikiLeaks process, how it all works, the importance of it, the importance of the hacker community, and speaking to a crowd like our crowd at the Next Hope. In place of Julian, obviously Julian wasn't able to make it then, but certainly he was in our thoughts, and I'm sure we were in his thoughts as well. Bernie, some pretty powerful stuff there, eh?
Extremely. And if you've been paying attention to the news since last July, when this keynote speech was made by Jake Applebaum of WikiLeaks, you have heard tons of information about WikiLeaks, and you had heard tons of stories that major media outlets released who obtained their documents through WikiLeaks and reported major news stories week after week after week. And you were listening just now to an insider at WikiLeaks explaining how that organization works, why it's so important, and why you should support it. And along the same themes, you should also support WBAI because we support that type of effort.
That's right. 212-209-2950 is the phone number. For that, for calling that number and pledging $75, you'll get the WikiLeaks keynote that you just heard an excerpt from. You'll get the Kevin Mitnick address that we heard something from before. You'll get social engineering and a whole bunch of other things. You'll get a total of 20 different talks. That's for a pledge of $75. For a pledge of $125, you'll get a total of 40 talks from three different conferences in 2006, 2008, and 2010. Some really fascinating stuff there. And, of course, everybody who calls in 212-209-2950 and pledges, you'll get a custom-made picture being drawn right now by Rob T. Firefly. How's it going over there, Rob?
Not bad, not bad.
All right, good. Yeah, you're sweating a little bit, but I think you're going to you're churning out the pictures here. It's really kind of cool watching the process unfold. 212-209-2950. We're over $1,000, which is great, and we want to thank the people for calling in throughout the hour tonight. We're only on for another 10 minutes, though, and if you want to take advantage of this package, which I think is an incredible deal, you have to give a call now, 212-209-2950. Use your credit card if you wish. And pledge whatever it is you can afford, no matter where you are in the planet. We are offering this this particular selection for WBAI listeners for the next 9 minutes. 212-209-2950, 20 talks for $75, $125 pledge will get you 40 talks. And some really, really good material here. Want to thank some people, Mike?
Yeah, sure. Let's thank Eric, who's from Wyoming, for pledging. Matthew, who's from St. Albans, West Virginia. Justin from Port Jefferson, New York, and Giancarlo from Henderson, Nevada.
And we have a lot more people to thank too, but it's so hectic down there that we don't have all the names yet. And we see a bunch of calls coming in now. 212-209-2950. Please join those people. Make it a little bit more hectic down there so that we have a good shot at making 2,000 this hour.
I was going to ask you, think we can make 2,000?
I think we can do it. Sure, we made 4,500 last week and we were on for 2 hours, so it's certainly possible we could do 2,000 if enough people call in. We have 3 calls on the line now. How many people were down there when you visited?
More than 3.
Okay, so we have space for more people to call in, and if they do, then we can certainly we're up to 1195 now. We can get up there with people's help, and that's how the radio station runs. That's how we do things. It's everybody adding something, and it gets greater and greater, and that's how it's been working since we began back in 1960. Dot Red.
Now, one thing I love about what I just heard with Mike reading off those names is how many of those were from different states all over this country. That's a fantastic mm-hmm. thing. Not only are we talking about free speech, we're talking about free speech that gets around. You know, help support that. Help keep that on the air. Help keep that, you know, free speech traveling across the country and around the world.
Around the world, too, absolutely. And we have people from as we talked about with Bicycle Mark, from the Netherlands, where you live right now. People listen to WBAI over there, don't they?
And last year, I was if I can tell a story, I was working in Afghanistan, in Kabul. Mm-hmm. And even in Kabul, I would run into people, international people from all over the world,
uh-huh.
who also listen to WBAI
no,
programming.
No, really?
Yes.
In Afghanistan?
They do.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing work. It's a highly stressful environment. You can get your news from other places, but they choose to, you know, WBAI is one of their sources.
Can you speak in their native tongue and give an appeal for people to call in and pledge?
No, no, but I'll go back and learn.
You can speak Portuguese, though.
Yes, I can.
Can you give an appeal in Portuguese?
Está bem. Para todos os nossos ouvintes, faz favor de telefonar o programa para dar o apoio ao nosso trabalho aqui e à nossa qualidade de trabalho.
See, I knew we had a foreign language in you somewhere. We just had to drag it out. You know, I always thought Portuguese sounds a little like Russian. Does anybody
I
tell you
agree,
that?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And in Russia, I tried it out.
Uh-huh. Didn't work,
no.
Huh?
But they smiled as if they heard something familiar.
They just smiled as if they heard a lunatic trying to communicate with them with gibberish.
I don't think, Bicycle Mark, though, that you said the phone number, which, of course, is 212-209-2950. So people can call that number, whatever their native language, and pledge their support. Just as Dot Red was saying, how people are pledging from all over the world, I got handed 2 more names, John, who's from Maryland, and America, who's from Roseland, New Jersey, and many more anonymous people and many more people who are still calling right now that we won't have time to thank.
We have 5 calls on the line. Join those 5 calls, and we might have to send some more people down to Tally to help out. In fact, not Kevin, why don't you say your goodbyes and join people down the hall?
Goodbye, radio. Please, right. Pledge.
Hopefully see you. Hope we see you again sometime soon. It's not Kevin all the way from Vermont joining us tonight. 212-209-2950. In our last few minutes, we're not on next week. We won't be doing this next week. So if you want the package, you have to call now. Again, 20 DVDs or 20 talks actually from the last 3 Hope conferences for a pledge of $75, and 40 DVDs for a pledge of $125. And these are the greatest hits of the Hope conferences, of the last 3 Hope conferences. You'll get Kevin Mitnick, you'll get the WikiLeaks talks, you'll get keynotes, you'll get social engineering, you'll get all kinds of things. It'll have you riveted to your TV set or computer for days, months to come. It's a fantastic deal. And, of course, everybody who calls in and pledges any amount will get a custom drawing from Rob T. Firefly. Rob, you want to tell us something about the drawing you're doing right now?
The one I'm doing right now is actually a phone of mine that I sort of smashed for the purposes of the image.
You smashed the phone.
Yeah,
just to draw a picture.
It's
oh
kind
God,
of it's kind of broken now.
Wow.
But yeah, this is the sacrifice I make for my art. But there's only
destroy equipment so you can draw pictures of it. That's amazing. That's an artist for you.
And there's only one of these.
That's right. 212-209-2950. Get your own personalized Rob T. Firefly picture, and you can look at his art at robvincent.net. But the most important thing, give a call to the radio station to support the radio station. Keep us going. Keep us here for the years ahead, decades ahead. 212-209-2950. I think that's going to just about do it for us here tonight. We have down to four calls on the line right now, so hopefully we can get a few more, and we have a chance at making 2,000 this hour. Again, 212-209-2950. Get the whole packages, 75 or 125. Get the Rob T. Firefly artwork, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. You're what make it all possible. 212-209-2950. Good night.